I'm Richard Hale. I'm the Deputy DoD CIO for cybersecurity. So in a commercial corporation, I would be the CISO or the Chief Information Security Officer. So as much as anybody in the department has the responsibility, it's my job to make sure we have a properly functioning cybersecurity program. So again, we have resources that nobody else has to help do that. We have NSA, you just saw Kurt Dukes. We have fantastic industry partners. We have an operational entity called Cyber Command, so we actually can make a decision and make it stick operationally across this enormous infrastructure that we have that's getting more enormous by the second. So that's my job, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about again, to beat this horse a little more, the cybersecurity part of the Internet of Things. So we need the technological edge in warfighting in DoD. You know, we absolutely need it. General Cartwright explained the need for scale. The Internet of Things, to me, gives us the promise of that scale. I think General Cartwright always says it better than the way I think about it, but this business of transitioning to thinking about how many machines one human can control rather than vice versa really is where we're going to be able to do the things we need to do in the world with the resources we have going forward as complexity just explodes. But the thing that DoD needs, and to go along with that, is something that it's taken cybersecurity people in the department quite a while to come around to, but now we've finally adopted it, heart and soul. We need dependable mission execution in the face of cyber warfare by a capable adversary. So this idea that somebody is going to try to disrupt our operations, because they do it in any other area of warfighting, is central to how we think about this. And It can be so central sometimes that it keeps us from taking appropriate risks. I wanted to talk a little bit about sort of the environment we have and how we're thinking about managing risk in that environment and a few things that we're doing about it. So in DoD, when we go build a special purpose platform or something like that, we think about the operational environment, the realistic operational environment, quite a lot. In the IT world, we don't think about it at all. And as a culture, not just the department, but the whole globe. So this idea that everything is connected to everything else is still not deeply embedded in the design or the production or the operation of complicated distributed systems, but everything is connected to everything else. It happened in all of our lifetimes here, all of a sudden, right? You know, how many phones are there now? 6-7 billion. So that's one thing. We're still using technologies that were designed fundamentally for the days when nothing was attached to anything else. The second is anything that runs software can be cyber attacked. So we have lots and lots of examples of this. And sometimes it's the obvious cyber attack, you know, getting malicious software in there and doing things. Sometimes it's more subtle attack on the way a distributed system actually operates. But anything that runs software can be cyber attacked. Again, we don't design with that. And so our realistic operational environment is not benign, right? We have a lot of adversaries connected to it in the same way that we are. And what it's meant for bad guys is that attacks are easy, scalable, cheap to develop. You know, you can mutate them quickly in just regular old information technology. And in the Internet of Things, so far the data shows that we're kind of proceeding down the same path about not thinking about this realistic operational environment. And so the adversary patterns are starting to look kind of the same. And again, if you're an adversary in a regular old IT, you can mutate your attacks quickly, so as we react to them, we figure them out. You can make up a new one that's almost the same as the old one, and we'll probably not notice it, and you'll be able to get away with that attack again. So the other is there isn't much risk to a bad guy in this infrastructure, and so there's a lot of risk to end users, but not so much for bad guys. So a lot of bad guys in all aspects of life, but in particular in the military, we're worried about that. So we're going to struggle as a society and as a military for a while, given that we are using these technologies that were designed for a different world. The business of designing warfighting systems, really mission systems, you know, if we're doing things where lives are at risk, the mission success is at risk, we're going to have to tackle this problem as a department. And we're going to have to do it in a way that sort of is smeared throughout the culture, the acquisition culture, the contracting culture, the operational culture. And for the, you know, I'm an engineer, this business of designing for realistic operational environment was kind of built into everything in engineering school. But again, it doesn't seem to be any longer. So this interconnected hostile environment is to Internet of Things designers what gravity is to civil engineers. So somewhere along the line, we're gonna have to adjust to this new gravity. So we're gonna have to do this with industry. We've already started, and some of you either are participating or victims of this. We're trying to use buying power. We're trying to use R&D. And we're trying to use a process change inside the department to get at some of this. So one thing we're trying to do, and General Cartwright talked about it, this is all about risk management. We don't want to have all of our money spent on some insignificant cybersecurity problem. And so nuclear command and control ought to have more cybersecurity, whatever that means, than the thermostat in my house, or in a DoD building perhaps, although I might want quite a bit of cybersecurity for a thermostat in the engine of a jet airplane. So this is a little bit situational. We've tried as a government to cook up a risk management process that's common across the whole government. It's called the Risk Management Framework, and it's a NIST published thing. We've all chipped in on it, but we've all agreed to use a NIST standard for this. And it, in theory, forces us to mull over the mission and the risk that we're willing to accept in that mission as we make decisions about how much cybersecurity or how much whatever to have. So we put that in place, and one thing that comes along with that is this huge catalog of things that one ought to do cybersecurity. It's got a really catchy name. It's called NIST Special Pub 800-53. But what it is, if you reflect it in a mirror, is a set of horror stories that have happened to somebody else, hopefully, and that we've invented a way around or a way to avoid, and we've called it a security control. So we have this giant list of these things now. And again, these are all based on actual bad things happening, or almost all of them. A few of them are based on anticipating bad things happening. And we've tried to say, okay, we're gonna use this enormous catalog of security controls when we go buy something, or when we go build a new, hey, we're building a new bomber. So we use these security controls somehow. The trick is these aren't trivial to apply to a complicated architecture of interacting computers, right? You know, my car, I bought a new car. It complains if I drift out of the lane, and it tells me if somebody is driving behind me, if I'm backing up, and it stops me if I am not paying attention enough and the car in front of me stops. So that sort of autonomy is very worrisome to me in that, again, we've got this complicated architecture of interacting computing, and again, we know everything that has software in it, cyber attackable. We have these computers talking to each other, and we have good car and SCADA hacking examples that show if you have a big complicated sort of commercial level operating system, like a Linux machine that's running the car entertainment system, or is the human interface for a SCADA system. That thing is highly cyber attackable, just like any sort of general purpose IT, and then you use that to control the embedded IT part if you're a bad guy. And we have examples, right? You know, you can drive a car into a ditch by attacking the entertainment system, or you can do the same thing with a power plant by attacking the human machine interface, even though the other stuff's not really hooked to the internet. So maybe that car entertainment system shouldn't talk to the engine control computer in my car, or the steering in my car, or the brakes, since each of those is run by a separate computer. So we're trying to take this catalog and help tailor it for different situations and different mission risk ideas, including some of these ideas like containment of risk, right? We know things are gonna go wrong in some of these areas, and so we'd like to make sure that doesn't spread to something more important. We'd like to make it so mission owners can take risk, right? DoD is nothing but risk-taking when you're in war fighting. And so we'd like to be able to take risk, but then if that risk materializes, have that risk contained and keep it from spilling over to other mission areas that need to keep going in spite of that one decision maker's decision. So anyway, so we're trying to use this catalog. Doesn't apply to every situation, but we're trying to tailor it. And so these tailored things have also another catchy name. They're called overlays. And we've just produced the first one for space systems. So we're trying to figure out, again, with people going out and buying space systems, how do we lay cybersecurity into this extremely complicated, interconnected, somewhat Internet of Things, right? There's a bunch of real-time control system stuff in there. There's a bunch of sensing stuff in there, and there's a bunch of decision stuff. And then we're trying to publish as much of that as possible so people can see that and react to it. We've also just spit out a program manager guidebook, Frank Kendall, the Undersecretary for Acquisition, and then Terry Halverson, the CIO, just signed out this document together. Here's how you work this risk management framework into the DoD acquisition process and into contracting, because it's hard, right? This is a cultural shift again. In using a particular risk management process, it has to fit into the other big processes that we use. Again, we're this enormous, you know, almost unmanageable place. And so you really do have to depend on process quite a lot. So, and we're working, we have an acquisition college in the department, something called the Defense Acquisition University. And we have a big effort going to completely infuse all this cybersecurity into their curriculum. So all these program officers are the ones that are going to go out and buy our Internet of Things stuff for the department. So we're trying to make it so we're setting some conditions so that this can happen without costing a ton of extra money, right? It doesn't necessarily have to mean that cybersecurity is expensive. I think, again, if you start with the realistic environment in mind. But I'd like to go back to just a couple other notions. Kurt mentioned one of them. The rich interaction of simple things and maybe some not simple things, I think, is a characteristic of the Internet of Things. And we know from regular IT, and we know from human interactions, that sometimes anonymity is not a good thing. In the department, we've gone to considerable trouble to drive anonymity out of our networks. Anonymity is inappropriate in most situations internal to our network. So we've worked to basically get rid of things like passwords and move to identity credentials that have more global meaning across the department that are not replayable. You know, bad guy can't guess a password or find one and reuse it. The Internet of Things is going to need that same thing. How do I know that I'm interacting with the sensor that I ought to be interacting? And it's not just somebody putting bogus information in there, right? Deception has been a fact of life in warfare since warfare started. We certainly have quite a bit of experience in the department throwing bogus information into interesting operational situations in places where there's poor authentication and there is plenty of anonymity. And we make bad operational decisions as a result. the Internet of Things, especially as we get more and more autonomous and more of this is real-time control system sort of like stuff, it's going to make really bad decisions if information isn't right or if it's not coming from a genuine, a trustworthy piece of the Internet of Things. So I think identity and non-spoofable, non-replayable identity is going to be a fundamental characteristic. Again, we've decided that so for the department, for our big networks, our IT-looking stuff, we're going to do the same thing for the Internet of Things. Information integrity is incredibly important. Again, how do I know that information it hasn't been monkeyed with, that it's really coming from this legitimate source? So we're going to push that quite a lot, but we're going to need industry help and standards help. So we're going to need lighter weight protocols than we have right now for things like secure web browsing, right? These things take a lot of time and energy to set up. And there's a lot of overhead in these protocols. The Internet of Things won't tolerate that. So we're going to need more customized, but still completely standard things there. And then we're gonna need better hardware support for this, right? So that it doesn't take more power and more money and more time to implement such things. So we're pushing on that a bit with the acquisition system, with R&D. We're gonna need some more trustworthy components as well, right? So, I complained about operating systems. DARPA has thrown in on the effort to, for instance, build a real-time or an embedded operating system that has certain properties that can be proved. And folks of a certain age in this room know that we had this big heyday of proving properties about software, and then we fell away from that, but it's back. And it's feasible to do it for much larger software systems. So we're trying to put some components in place that will help make this cheaper and easier to do. And then finally, since I would like to take a question or two, we are trying to go at this problem of the workforce. And again, we can have all the process in place and all these great technology ideas on how to do this fast and cheap and in a way that's dependable in the face of a capable adversary. Still gotta have some really, really clever people in the department and in industry who are working to puzzle out how this is really gonna get mechanized in practice. So we're trying to put new qualification standards, new training opportunities in place for people who are already in the DoD in some of these areas, but we're also working with colleges and universities quite a bit to try to get a bit more of this realistic operational environment idea into the appropriate curricula. And again, NSA did